Today, I want us to start with just a brief prayer, and then we're going to look at the truth about fasting. And it's not every truth. It's not the whole truth. It's as much as I could fit into a message that I think would be able to get through in this service. There's a lot more. But I want you all to know that fasting is a spiritual discipline, and it's something that all of God's people are called to, not just some. So with that, let's pray, shall we? Father, we're gathered here to serve You today. We are gathered here, Lord, for Your glory. We ask that You would help us, Lord, to forsake sin. Help us to prepare, Lord, to be received by Christ our Redeemer. Help us to help others prepare as well. Lord God, I ask that You would take a hold of my lips and my tongue, my mouth, Lord. Give me unction to preach Your Word. I yield to You completely for Your glory, Father. And I ask that You would open up all of our ears to hear. Open all of our eyes to see. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father, that we would be drawn nearer to You through Your Word, I pray. Remove all distractions from our thinking, that we would think of nothing, Lord, but what it is that Your Spirit is speaking to us as Your Word is brought forth. Give us hunger for Your written Word, Lord, even as we look at the spiritual discipline of fasting. I ask that You would help me to preach in Your Spirit and power. Let Your Spirit fall upon all who receive this message here and beyond, I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. As I said, we're going to look at the spiritual discipline that's called fasting. It brings great rewards. But that's not the primary reason for engaging in it. It's not just to get something, in other words, okay? That's not the main motivation, but the benefits are there. And what if I told you that you could improve your health? What if I told you could slow aging? What if I told you that you could improve your thinking? Would you want to practice fasting? What if I told you that your relationship with your Creator would improve and your faith would be strengthened? Would that motivate you? And what about your ability to communicate with Him? What if your ability to communicate with Almighty God would improve, would that be something that would help you to think of fasting in a different light? What if your relationship would get stronger and more meaningful? What if I told you that you'd be better able to comprehend the Word of God if, in fact, you would practice fasting? Would that motivate you? Would that help you to think that maybe this is something that would be worthwhile? Because a lot of people, you know, we're trained from children to have three meals a day in this country anyway. I don't know about anywhere else, but at least here, we are trained to have three meals a day. And a lot of times nowadays, most especially in my lifetime, much of the food has been processed through some means or other, and it's been filled with things that don't belong in our bodies. That's just a plain truth, folks. We have systems in place, this great agricultural industrial complex that makes our food now. Our food, much of it comes from factories. It doesn't come from farms anymore. Oh, it might start in a farm somewhere in the world. But it's coming not from the farm to us. It's coming from the farm through a factory to us. And in that factory, things are added. And some of those things are very poisonous. They're toxic. Your toxins that are making us sick. And not only that, in the processing, a lot of the nutrition is being stripped from the food. So we're getting food that's empty of what we need and full of things we don't. This is a very difficult thing for some people to comprehend, but it's the truth. It's where we are. And when I think about that, I say, well, maybe there's some way we can get some of these toxins out of us. And God's Word gives us a remedy. It's called fasting. And so with that, I want you to open your Bible, because all of the things that I shared with you are true and more. I want you to open your Bible to the 6th chapter of Matthew's gospel record. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin with verse 16. You'll find that on page 652 in your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, we'll read through verse 18. And we're going to find what Jesus said in one instance. He had a lot to say about fasting, but we're going to just read one little thing that Jesus had to say about fasting. And it's important. It's a very important thing for all believers. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, reading through verse 18. And this is what's written there. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, another passage says in heaven, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And that's where we'll stop our reading. I trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. When? Jesus said, moreover, when you fast. He doesn't say if. He said when. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. I'm fasting today. No. They disfigured their faces so that everybody would know. Oh, look how righteous I am. I'm fasting today.
I'm fasting today.
You know, it's nutty when you think about what they did. And there's so many religious people today that would do the same thing. They'll fast and they'll just brag about it. Now, I share as a teacher with you, as a preacher with you, that I am on a fast. Stopped eating last Sunday. Last Sunday at lunch was my last meal. I had something later, I don't recall, but it was last Sunday. And do you think that I'm falling down and dying? Do I look like I'm dying right now? Look at me, okay? I'm going to get a little close to you so you can... Do I look like I'm on death's door? I haven't eaten. Okay, there's 18, 20 meals, whatever it was that everybody had since then, I haven't had. Do I look like I'm falling down and tired? Do I look fatigued? Do I look worn out? Do I look like I'm on death's door? No. I don't. And I share that with you, not because I'm bragging like the hypocrites. Oh, look at me, I'm fasting. No. I want you to know that this is something that everybody can do. It's something that I've practiced since a very young age. I wasn't even going to share my own testimony on that, but apparently the Holy Spirit wants me to because He's had me say these things. Not in my notes. You know, the words fast, fasting, fasted, the combination of those words occur more than 100 times in the Bible. If you look it up, there's more than 100 times that you see those words in the Bible, whether it's fast or fasting or fasted. And there's about 40 instances of fasting that are recorded, the actual accounts of fasting. And fasting, if you want to just put it in a spiritual sense, is the act of abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Now, you can fast for non-spiritual purposes. Some people fast for dieting. So I'm going to lose some weight, so I'm going to stop eating. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about fasting for the purpose of building yourself up spiritually. Abstaining from food. And when I was a child, I didn't like to eat. It was easy for me to abstain from food. Even when I was a teenager, I still had that in me where I could just say, I don't want to eat. And whenever I came to the Lord led me in His Word that I saw Jesus fast, that His disciples talked about fasting and others talked about fasting, and there was fasting throughout the Bible. And I thought, well, that sounds like a good spiritual discipline. I should do that. And I did. And I was just a scrawny little kid. I mean, I really was 130 pounds or so in high school, in the beginning of high school. I was a little tiny thing. And I was fasting. And people said, no wonder you're so skinny. You don't eat. So it has nothing to do with it. That's where I was. And the fasting gave me all of those things that I introduced this message with. It gave me those spiritual powers, those abilities, I'll say. And I recognize when I go into the Word of God, if I fast, my brain gets better. I can think more clearly. And I'm going to get into some of the health benefits of fasting a little later, okay? I want you to know these things because, okay, if you don't have this desire to fast, to build your relationship with God or to know His Word better or to be stronger in prayer, maybe it'll motivate you to fast for the physical benefits. And then those other things will happen too. Because all of it happens. You know, there was occasions in the Bible whenever the model for fasting without food and water was 3 days. Now, I've not fasted without water. I don't think I've ever done a fast. I may have when I was younger, but I don't recall. But there's one or two occasions when Moses fasted for 40 days, and it's written in the Scripture that it was without food or water. Now, that's a supernatural occurrence. I don't encourage anybody to do that unless God physically takes you and leads you into the wilderness or draws you nearer to Him and then gives you the ability or empowers you to not eat and drink. We need to have liquids. The liquids help to flush the poisons out of our system, especially as toxic as all of us are. And there's not one in this room that can say you're not. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll tell you, if you decide to take the challenge and fast, if you decide to fast, you will know, because you'll have symptoms of toxicity. There will be things that happen to you, and we'll discuss a little bit of that, not all of it, because some of it's not comfortable to discuss, but you will have symptoms, and those symptoms will show you that you were toxic. And it can take up to 40 days for you to totally cleanse your system. 40 days. But we'll get there. Moses fasted twice for 40 days without food and water. Again, those were supernatural occurrences. It's not something that I encourage you to even set in or embark on. Jesus went without food for 40 days. That's found in Matthew chapter 4. And Elijah did so, and that's found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Now, I met a couple. Actually, I knew a couple, an elderly couple. They've since gone on, passed on. One time I was fasting, and they made the most delicious fish. I mean, it was just absolutely delicious. And they were offering me some fish. And I said, no, I'm not going to have. Why aren't you going to have any, John? It's really, I said, well, I'm not eating today. Well, how long aren't you eating? What do you mean you're not eating today? I said, well, I'm fasting. Well, how long are you fasting? I said, well, I don't know exactly. I'm just allowing God to lead me, you know. And they said, well, we fasted for 40 days once. And this thing went, bing, what? I said, really? Now, this is Wallace and Carolyn. They're an elderly couple. And they said, oh, yeah. And I said, how'd you do that? And they told me they had broth. They had lots of water. They flooded their system with water. And they gave me these tips about how to do these things. Use certain herbs and put it in the broth and that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, maybe this is the time. You know, I took that as a sign from God that maybe this is the time for me to engage in a 40-day fast. And so I did. And I didn't eat any solid food for 40 days at that time. And this was, it had to be 2005, 6, maybe. I don't know. Probably 2005. And then I did that, and people were looking at me and said, oh, you lost a lot of weight, John. I lost 40 pounds. And that, if you do a long fast and you do it right, you're going to find that you'll lose 1 pound per day on average. Okay? Now, if you don't have 40 pounds to last, lose, don't go on a 40-day fast. Okay? I'm just telling you, because you will lose weight. That's not the reason to do it. The reason is to get stronger in your faith, to get stronger in prayer, to get stronger in your understanding of God's Word, to get stronger in your relationship with your brothers and sisters. It gets a whole lot easier to tolerate things. And sometimes we've got quirky things. Brothers and sisters don't always get along. Let's face it. There's things that sometimes we don't harmonize on. But whenever you're fasting, you get stronger in being able to discern, is this a hill to die on? Or is this one that we can just let go? And there's a lot of hills that we don't let go that we should, especially in a family. And we're a family, and we want to live as a family and grow as a family, and we want to produce more members as a family. In order to do that, we've got to have harmony. And one way to harmonize is all to get in sync with the Holy Spirit as our guide through fasting. And God has shown me this very clearly, not only in my own life, but also in other situations. So, anyway, abstaining from food for any reason other than spiritual is not what we're talking about. Okay? But did you hear what Jesus said? He said, when you fast. There's another passage of Scripture when they said, will you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, well, when you pray, when? Okay? This is inside. He expected His followers to do this. It's expected, but not many people teach it anymore, especially in this land of fast food that we have here in these United States. We can go anywhere to eat, and whenever you're fasting for an extended period of time, you see every sign, every commercial, you hear everything on the radio, whenever you're exposed to, you're going to see food, food, eat, food. Go past King's down there on Route 356, and Butler's got a big sign, eat! Okay. And you might not notice that whenever you're not hungry, but let me tell you, whenever you get into a fast, you start noticing all of those things, okay? You notice all the things that are going on with food in our society. Jesus said not to be like the hypocrites who wanted everybody to know they were fasting. But does that mean you can't tell anybody? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you're not to be doing it hypocritically. And there are times, let's say, okay, I'm going on a fast, and I'm on a fast, and I've got to tell my wife. I can't say, well, if she makes supper, I'm not going to show up, right? I'm going to tell her, honey, you don't need to make supper for me because I'm going to be fasting. Now, she's learned throughout our life together. We've been together 26 years, I think it is. Oh, forgive me. Forgive me, honey. I'm sorry. I think it's 26 years. It's going. We're into 27th. We'll be celebrating our 27th anniversary. Yeah, very soon. Anyway, whenever we look at fasting, we realize, like in our family, we realize, okay, Dad's fasting. So that doesn't mean we don't eat. That doesn't mean that they don't eat, I should say. You know, everybody else can eat. And I don't mind even being at the table. I've gotten the strength from fasting as much as I have that I can sit present when people are eating and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't trouble me. It doesn't disturb me. It doesn't, oh, I gotta have some of that. My eyes aren't popping out of my head saying, oh man, that looks good. No, it doesn't happen. I just realize it's not necessary because the greater good is all of the benefits that come from fasting. If I'm going to be fasting, it's going to be for my relationship with God. And that started a long time ago. Bill Bittner is actually the one that sparked this recent fast because he called a group of us, the Butler Christian Ministry group down in Butler. We meet once every other, or two times a month, first and third Wednesdays of the month at King's. And if anybody wants to come, I'll buy you breakfast. How's that? Okay. I might not be eating. I don't know. The Lord might take me out of this fast. But until recently, I hadn't done a fast. I hadn't done any fasting. Oh, I'd skip a few meals in the morning. That's not a length of time anymore. You know, what used to be, I skipped breakfast. I fasted through breakfast. You know, I fasted through breakfast and lunch. Here comes supper. Boy, I'm going to chow down now. You know, and I've done a lot of that throughout the years. But since the last major fast that I did, which was probably 2010, I think it was 2010. Connie had mentioned to me, she remembered whenever I was doing it, I went 40 days. And I fasted without any chewing food. Now, I would chew my drinks sometimes. Because you get where you want something to chew on. Okay? And I would chew my drinks. I'd chew my water. I'd chew my juice. But whenever I would do the long fasts, after a time, then I wouldn't fast for a while. There was a time, though, between 2005 and 2010 when I would fast once a week, every week. I'd fast a day or two every week. And usually it would start on Wednesday. And I found that discipline in getting myself to say no to food gave me power. There's no other way to put it. It's power. It's power over the flesh. My body is in subjection to me. It cannot force me to take something to eat. It doesn't matter what you would put before me. If I've chosen to follow the Spirit of Almighty God into a fast, there is nothing that anybody could do. It wouldn't matter what kind of food it was. There is no way that you could take me off of this fast. I guarantee you that. And when you get that kind of power, you'll know what I'm talking about because you don't want to have your flesh telling you what to do. You tell it what to do. And that is power. That's true spiritual power. Because the Word tells us the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And when you strengthen your flesh against food, you have done something miraculous, okay? And it's God's Spirit that gives you the power to do that. And, you know, when we look at the Scripture, we see there were many occasions of fasting that brought about change, significant change. And I believe as we become that Christ's family church that meets in this building, God wants to bring change. I believe He wants us to be that formidable force that goes out into that world and brings His message of salvation one way or another, whether it's through missionaries or whether we ourselves will be those who go out onto the streets somewhere, anywhere, wherever God has us to deliver His message. And the way that we get strong against all of those things is first to put this flesh into subjection. And when we talked about this in the message on the flesh, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and hosts of wickedness and so on. And then I said, but we do fight our flesh. That's the truth, because the Scripture shows us that our flesh is weak. And we've got to strengthen it. And what way do we strengthen our spirit against the flesh? We've got to become strong against the flesh. And how do we do that? But through fasting. Because we subject the flesh to say no. Sorry. It's like an unruly child, okay? It's like an unruly child that doesn't want to listen. It wants to do what it wants to do, and you've got to put it into subjection. And you have that power by Almighty God to do that. You do. I'm absolutely certain because I'm living proof. I've done it. Now, does that mean that I don't slip from time to time, folks? I'd be lying if I said I'd never make a mistake, because I do. But my flesh is not taking me every single day. You want to break an addiction to anything? Fast. Get into a fast on your physical side and you break. You will. You'll have the spiritual strength to do it. I've done it. I'm talking from experience, because as you purge those toxins out of your body, as those toxins leave, and sometimes you can smell them leaving, you can smell it on your skin, you can smell it in your respiration, and the other ways of your body eliminating, you can smell it through those, and you will see that those toxins are actually leaving your body. Now, I'm sharing all this to encourage you. It's worshipful to deny the flesh. It is worshipful to pick up that cross of denial of self. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily, Jesus said. And what better way to strengthen yourself to pick up that cross than to pick up the one that's called fasting? To pick up fasting and to break those addictions in your life. A lot of us are addicted to food and we don't even know it. We're addicted to the chemicals that are in those foods because that's what they're designed to do. Remember, you can't eat just one. Remember that? Wasn't there a commercial on television about potato chips or something? You can't eat just one. And you open up the bag and you'd be tearing, you'd get about 3/4 of the way through. And you're like, man, that went down quick. And there's lots of things that they don't use that slogan anymore, but they're still putting the chemicals in those things. And you still desire them. You ever find yourself thinking, hey, you know, I feel like a... You just put in whatever name you want, whatever it is. A fast food restaurant. I feel like going to wherever. Think about that, because there are things in the food that's drawing you there. And I'm telling you that from my own research. I'm not going to give you all that background, okay? It's too much for one message. But pick up that cross. Pick up that cross of fasting and follow Christ. Did Christ fast? Yes, He did. And He said, teach them everything that I taught you. And if I don't teach you about fasting, then I'm not teaching you everything that He taught. And that would be wrong of me. It's a worshipful act to deny your flesh. A lot of people avoid fasting because it's just so uncomfortable. I don't like the idea of not eating. I don't like the idea of being hungry. Well, you get hungry, I'll tell you what, pick up a mug of water and chug it down and see if that hunger doesn't go away. A lot of times when you're feeling hungry, it's because you're thirsty, because you're dehydrated, because your body needs water. And you pick up a glass of water, you drink that water down, and it will take away the hunger. It will. I'll tell you. Sometimes fasting can bring discomfort from headache, or body aches, dizziness, nausea, things like that. And that's because those toxins are coming out of your body, and that's what's making you sick. You're reabsorbing some of that stuff within your intestines, and that's what you're feeling. There's a lot of body processes that are happening. Your liver is breaking down. It's giving up all the gluconase, I think is the name. And then your body's seeking glucose from somewhere. Well, where does it have it stored? It has it stored in your muscles, and it has it stored in the fat. And it draws it from the fat, and it starts the process of ketosis. What's it called? It starts with ketosis or something like that. Where it draws the sugar, the glucose, out of the fat. And this is why when people fast, they lose fat weight. Because you got that stored there, and the body says, okay, there's a good storage place, let's go get some from there. Okay? And it burns it up. And that's part of what makes your brain think better, because now you've got pure glucose running through your bloodstream, and when you're not digesting food, your body is doing less work in that area, so it can do more work in other areas. And so it actually starts to take, and the processes are it's a body process, autophagy, P-H-A-G-Y. A-U-T-O-P-H-A-G-Y. And what it does is it gets rid of the bad cells in your body, and it builds up the good ones. Now, you think, if I don't eat, I'm going to get sick. No. You don't eat, you get better. And that's God's design. Do you think that prior to our current times, that food was as plentiful as it is now? You go anywhere in the world and you see that it isn't. It still isn't there. It is here. We have a system in place that keeps pumping us full of food, making us fat and dead. That's the truth of it. And when you look at even 200 years ago, people had to work hard to eat. And there were times when they didn't have food or it was lean. Okay? They were forced to fast. And not for spiritual purposes. They were forced to fast because there wasn't food. But now we always have food. There's never a time we say, oh, I'm hungry. We open the refrigerator and it's full. You know, oh, there's nothing here to eat. Right? How many times have you used that? You open the refrigerator, there's nothing here to eat. Right? You open the cupboards, there's nothing here to eat. Oh, let's go get a pizza. Right? Hey, I do it. I'm guilty. I know. But I'm telling you the truth, folks, okay? We as a family, as a family of Christ that meets in this building, we have a duty to Him to take ourselves and subject our flesh to the Spirit. And when we do that, we will break chains. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you. And this is why I use the prayer that Nehemiah. This is why I use it for our call to worship, okay? Because Nehemiah found out that the walls were broken down, the gates had been burned, Jerusalem was in a wreck, it had been overrun by invaders, and he said, he sat down, he wept, he mourned for many days, and he was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Why would he fast and pray if that wasn't some spiritual purpose to it? Why would he fast and pray? Well, there's places in Scripture that tell us that this is an affliction of our soul. It's a way to humble our soul. This is the point. God wants us to humble our souls before Him. And then He hears from heaven. That is incredible. And when you get that, when you really get it, when you understand, it is not a sacrifice for you to sacrifice food. You give it up. And, you know, it's easy to start. Let me tell you, okay? If you never fasted before, I'm not criticizing you, but if you never fasted before, you could take, let's just say, your last meal is an evening meal. And you eat your evening meal, then you go to bed. Okay? You don't eat anything before you go to bed. And then the next morning, you could skip breakfast. I put this in a message that I put out in an email this week. You eat your last meal, go to bed, don't eat breakfast. By lunchtime, you got 18 hours in. You did an 18-hour fast by skipping one meal. And the biggest hunger part comes whenever you're laying there in bed. You're going to sleep. Your body's working to digest the food that you've eaten that day. And when you wake up, you may still have hunger because you're in the habit of eating. Because you're addicted to eating first thing in the morning. And so what you do is you guzzle down some water, guzzle down some juice. High fiber juice is excellent. I carrot fasted one time. Went through 50 pounds of carrots by juicing them. Chris did all the juicing. I praise God. Thank you, Chris. She did the juicing. Went through a 50-pound bag of carrots. And then from that point forward, because of all the antioxidants in carrots, my body healed. There were things that healed that I wasn't even thinking about. I felt better. I felt younger. I felt stronger. I felt more alert. I felt more awake. These are things that happen whenever you break that cycle of addiction to food. When you're eating and eating and eating and eating and your body's constantly digesting and digesting and digesting. And you give it a break. When you give it a break, it goes into hyper mode on fixing things. Because then I have to put the energy into digestion. And this is something that's really difficult for me to talk about with some people because they get sensitive about their weight. And it's not about that. It's about the spiritual discipline of getting your body in subjection to your spirit so that you can rule over that flesh. You have that power by Almighty God. You have it. He's given it to you. You simply need to access it. And it is power. It's not just authority because Jesus did receive all authority from God and He delegated that authority to His disciples. And His disciples, His followers, walk in that authority and they operate in that authority as ambassadors of Almighty God, bringing His kingdom to this world. Okay? But He's also given us power. He's given us power. And yes, we have authority over all the power of the enemy, but we also have power when we access it. And how does He give it to us? By breaking the bonds that this flesh has placed us into the food of this world. I'm telling you, folks, I know. Again, I'm going to ask you, do I look like I'm tired? Do I look like I'm sleepy? Do I look like I'm going to lay down and fall apart because I haven't eaten in a week? No. In fact, I feel better when I'm like this. Now, this morning, I didn't just have water. I did have some pea protein that I put into some almond milk, and I put some honey in there, and a little bit of flax meal, and some ground up pecans, because those are nutritious for the brain. I want to make sure that I'm able to think, that I'm able to actually focus. Now, maybe I can stay off the notes, you know, because there's a whole lot of what I've spoken that's in the notes. But I'll get back just for a moment to those symptoms that you might get if you fast. If you start feeling sick, that doesn't mean to stop fasting. Oh, I'm getting sick, I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die. I guarantee you, you're not going to die. I haven't died. I've fasted a lot in my life, and I've never died. Not yet. Someday the Lord will take me. It's not before now, at least. He might take me right now if I don't say things right. I've got to. I do fear the Lord. Anyway, when you encounter symptoms when you're fasting, I encourage you to push past those, to push through them. Get yourself lemon, oh my, lemon, hot, slice a lemon in half, crush that juice into a glass or a mug, add some hot water and some honey, and that is a great detox. Great detox. It will flush poison out of your system, and it'll strengthen your immune system, which your immune system is going to do the work that it's supposed to do. Break things. Get them out. All right? You can also get symptoms in your mind. The enemy will plant thoughts in your mind. I remember during the first long fast, I had all these thoughts. You're going to die. If you don't eat, you're going to die. I heard in my mind, if you don't eat, you're going to die. But you know, when you get these symptoms, you have to be able to push through them. And the only way to do that is with strength. And the way you get the strength is over the flesh, is with your spirit being in control. Now, if the symptoms get really dire, it means you're really toxic, and if you are that toxic, and you really absolutely cannot stand them, then I say break the fast. Get some nutrition in you, and stop pushing, because sometimes people can't harm themselves if they don't do it right, okay? This is something that we could do as a church. We could say, okay, maybe not everybody wants to, but maybe some of you will, and if you want to, we can do it together. And I will guide you because I've been there. I've been down that path. I can lead you there because I follow what Scripture shows. And I want to encourage you and I want to support you through it if that's in fact what you will do. And don't get discouraged when you don't feel well. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what God's Word says. And fasting cleanses this temple. You want a clean temple? Fast. You want to feel better? Fast. It works. I want to encourage each of you. As the pastor here, that's my job in some ways, is to bring you into the fullness of what God has for you. And it's not necessarily what the world has to offer. I can't tell you if you say a little prayer, you're going to get a nice new car. But I can tell you if you stop eating, you're going to get a better body. I know this for a fact, okay? If it's not something that you've never done, then I don't want you to jump in and say, I'm going to do a 40-day fast. No. Skip a meal. Skip a meal, go through the night, wake up in the morning, and then eat. Or, eat your last meal, go through the night, skip the morning meal, and then do lunch. And you'll get 18 hours in. And you can have a victory, and you can hang that victory on your refrigerator. I fasted for 18 hours. Praise God! And that victory will lead you to another. It'll strengthen you against the temptation. Because when you get through the first 18-hour fast, then you can tell your body, because it's going to be screaming for food. Hey, wait a minute. All you need is some water. And you pour some water in, and guess what? It says, wow, thanks. I thought I was hungry. No, it wasn't hunger. It was thirst. Now, you call your flesh into subjection for one meal, and as I said, maybe after a brief fast, a week or so later, you could do another one. Same way. Miss one meal, 18 hours, eat another. And you realize that you can live without food for a time. You can. I assure you, you will not die if you miss a meal, or two, or three, or 18, or 25, or 45. You can miss eating for a very long time and not die. Okay? I can assure you of this. Now, if you have a medical condition and you go to your doctor, he's going to say, don't fast. He'll tell you that. But if you do a light fast, just an easy fast, one meal, two meals, three meals, you work your way up to maybe four meals, five meals, six meals, you miss 2 days, guess what? Your body starts cleansing itself at a rapid pace. And after 2 days of fasting, you start feeling better. Maybe some of the ailments that you had. Now, let me tell you, when I was going through this fast this week, my body aches were like through the roof. I mean, I was thinking, you know what? I understand why some people take opiates, because the pain is intense. But I said, no, I'm not taking anything. I don't want an aspirin. I want nothing. I want my body to heal itself. And so I ate nothing. Drink juice, drink water, keep going forward. Now, as you get that victory, you get the energy in your spirit and your faith to continue. And you become grounded, grounded in your own ability. Think about the first time you ever run a race and you won. Think about the first time you did anything and was successful. And how that makes you feel. And that itself builds endorphins, which then help your brain to tell your body you're feeling pretty good. And that's important for everybody, not just for the pastor. Our faith must be in Christ. And maybe, think about what's in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. He, speaking of God, gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 29. He, God, gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. You want strength? Humble yourself. Humble your soul. Become, before God, humbled by denying your flesh. And maybe this is why Jesus commented about some kinds of demons can only be put out by prayer and fasting. Because fasting will, at first, weaken you. Because you're so used to eating. Even though the process, a few days later, you're going to be stronger, initially you might feel weaker. I thought about this. Because some people say, well, no, it's not that, it's this. And I say, well, wait a minute. When you look at the whole counsel of God's Word, you say, okay, God is going to strengthen you when you're weak, and you get weak when you first fast, and maybe Jesus is saying, get yourself weak so God can give you strength. You want strength against things in the spiritual realm? If you want to be a spiritual force to be contended with, if you want to be a contender for Christ, you need to get on His path. Our faith has to be in Christ, who delegates His authority to His servants. He has the power, and He's already won the victory. We talked about this yesterday. And when I started, I mentioned those health benefits of this spiritual discipline. Spiritually speaking, fasting humbles our soul. It humbles our soul before Almighty God. Because we're saying, okay, God, I don't care about that. I care about You. I care about my relationship with You. How do we build this? How do we strengthen this? How do we improve this communication? How do we improve every aspect of our walk with Almighty God? It's written that David said, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Return? Prayer had left? David said, I humbled myself with fasting, and prayer returned to his heart. Do you want to have strength in prayer? Fast. David's a clear example there. Humbling our soul strengthens it against all manner of evil. It strengthens us against evil. Jesus fasted 40 days and nights. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, we hear, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He broke free from everything in this flesh, even though He was in the flesh. He was a man of man's. He broke everything that had to do with the flesh. In the 16th chapter of Leviticus, we hear God proclaim a once-a-year fast forever. God said, go without eating to show sorrow for your sins, and then on the 10th day of the 7th month of every year, you're to do this. Every year. He didn't say 1 year. He said every year. And God's people still, the Jewish people still, follow this. Now, if we're grafted into Israel, doesn't this apply to us? One day, fast a year at least, minimum, bare minimum, one day we go without food to strengthen us, our relationship with God. He says so. Show sorrow for your sins. Go without eating to show sorrow for your sins. Nobody was allowed to work, not even the foreigners, that one day. One day. The foreigners that lived there, And from then on, it was to be celebrated as a fast every year forever. That's what God says in His Word. Now, you could discount that. Some people do. But I don't. God told His people to fast and make this a day of complete rest, like the Sabbath. Rest. Rest from what? Rest from digestion, maybe? Think about it. And He says, you shall afflict your souls. You shall. Ye, plural. Ye shall afflict your souls. Afflict means to chasten, beat down, and submit. Daniel set his face toward the Lord God to make prayer by, to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting. And he did it in sackcloth and ashes. And God's not asking us to do that. You ever wear sackcloth? Get yourself a burlap sack, cut it into a put some holes in it, put it on you and see how that feels, okay? You humble your flesh, and guess what? God honors that. Daniel humbled himself to make his request. Fasting gives you power over your own soul. Fasting gives you power over your own flesh. You become the master as you overpower your flesh. You become the master. You're made stronger to submit your soul and flesh more perfectly to your Creator by faith. And I think this is why Jesus said, fast. When you fast. And I think that there's some passages of Scripture that make that very clear. Praying becomes easier when you spend more time in it. And whenever you're fasting, sometimes you're praying, God, take this hunger away. Oh, God, I'm hungry. It doesn't happen very much anymore. Although lately, when you get to the place where your body's ready to eat, your body starts talking to you with the need for food. Now you think all of that need, that all of that feeling that you have for hunger is your need. It's not. We talked about that. Water. But finding and accepting God's will for your life becomes clearer. You want clarity? You ask for wisdom. You ask for guidance. You want strength. You want wisdom. You want to be able to see. You want clarity in what God wants for you. Fast. Take some time off from eating. And your body's not doing that digestion. And after you get through that period of time of detox, and maybe it might take you 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 fasts, or maybe you get into a time whenever you're fasting and you can stay there for a longer period of time, you get that cleansing through, you get that process over, and then you start getting into a place where you can now think more clearly. And you can speak more clearly. And you can hear more clearly when God's speaking to you. It's written in James chapter 4, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, we talk about wanting to draw near to God, but we don't talk about how we're going to do that. Cut your body off and watch what happens. You draw near to God. That's what Jesus did, what Moses did, what Nehemiah did, what many others did. You look in 1 Samuel, the end of 1 Samuel, first book of Samuel. The end of 1 Samuel ends with them fasting. And then 2 Samuel, this is a book of, they're beat up, they're overrun. And then when you look at 2 Samuel, you see they're victorious. You can't tell me that God didn't give them power through fasting. You can't tell me that. I'll say, sorry, I don't believe it. Because I see it. I look in the Word shows they fasted, God gave them strength, and they overcame their enemies. Woo! To me, that says do it. Okay? Now, Jesus said deliverance is sometimes only possible through prayer and fasting. He said that. Okay? And when His disciples were unable to cast out a particular demon, He told them it was because of unbelief. And He said, not just unbelief. He didn't just stop there. But you know what? Some of the new modern Bibles, they cut that out. They cut out the next part that I'm about to read to you. Or they downplay it. He said, however, okay, it's because of your unbelief, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, it's also written in Mark, I believe, chapter 9, and I forget the verse. But in some of the modern versions, they use a manuscript that doesn't have that in it, and they say that's why they don't have it in there. But the majority of the manuscripts do have it in there. So why would they choose one that doesn't have it in there, except if they're trying to keep people from doing something that is absolutely beneficial? Somebody's trying to manipulate things, okay? And these newer versions, the guy yesterday said, my Bible doesn't have that in it. I said, seriously? Doesn't have it in it? And other people looked in theirs. Oh no, this version doesn't have it either. Seriously? It doesn't have it? Jesus said it. Jesus taught it. But they deny it because some scribe forgot to write it in one manuscript. And so they use that manuscript to say, no, that's not, it doesn't belong in there. That's, to me, nutty. Some people deny that Jesus said it, and other people deny that he meant it. But he said, however, and that's the connecting phrase that says he did mean it. He said, your faith is the reason why you didn't, this is why you couldn't do it. However, this kind, this particular kind of demon, whatever it was, he never described it, he didn't say this is the XYZ demon. He said, this kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. So there is a call for fasting. If you're going to be in deliverance mode, okay? If you see that somebody's possessed with demons, I will not, I personally will not step to them and say, hey, I'm going to cast a demon out of you. No, I'm not prayed up and I'm not fasted up. Let me tell you, I'm not touching them. Because I do not want something to come out on me. I've had it happen. I have had it happen. I won't go into that. It's another whole sermon. Now, what about the physical? A couple minutes anyway. Research shows that cancer cells do not do well during fasting. Cancer cells respond to fasting. But at the same time, fasting protects normal cells. Put that up against, say, radiation, chemical therapy. Okay? Fasting helps your body to heal. Fasting improves natural antiviral activity. Your immune system strengthened because it has more energy to fight invaders. We're all under invasion. There's no way you can get out of that right now. In this world, the way we are under invasion. We're invaded by toxins. We're invaded by pathogens, bacteria, viruses. And if you want to fight it, stop putting energy into digestion. Put it into fighting it. God's Word shows it. Fasting delays aging. Because it protects against disease and it reduces stress on your body systems. There's people that have actually been, they've recorded evidence, documented, their gray hairs have turned back to their original color through fasting. Because the problems in the body that were causing the gray hairs, the stressors were gone. To me, that's pretty incredible. If you think about it, and that's just one thing, and it was documented. Every time you abstain from eating, you give your body a rest from digestion, and you get more energy, not less. Fasting reduces obesity. It teaches your body balance. It helps you to balance. Because once your body realizes it doesn't need all of those calories that you're consuming, it starts to say, hey, let's find the middle here. Where's the best place to be? And then your appetite adjusts to your actual needs. Appetites decrease after resetting your internal regulator. Fasting helps to control dietary excesses. Overeating becomes less desirable. You don't want to overeat. And I found that to be absolutely true with me. Sit down to a meal, and I mean this to this day, folks. It's hard for me to overeat. There are times whenever something's so delicious or so tender or so luscious that I say, I'm going to. I insist. I want to. I make myself do it. But it's not desirable. It's like the opposite of the way it used to be. And that leads to greater health benefits also. Fasting's been shown to reduce hypertension. Your blood pressure goes down when you're fasting. But the doctor's not going to tell you that. Because he's going to sell you that bottle of little pills that he's going to keep you coming back for every month. And don't forget, you got to go back to the doctor so he can check your blood pressure, so he can see if he needs to regulate whether or not you need more or less of that same pill. Fasting can reduce asthma. Fasting can improve respiratory function because as your weight gets in balance, your respiration improves. Scientifically proven, doctors know this. They know it. It's not speculation. Your body also, by fasting, improves brain function. The toxins go out, your blood flow increases, your respiration adds more oxygen, and your brain functions better. It functions better. And I think right now, here today, I'm living proof of that. I've been struggling, folks. If you look, you can see me. I've got to stick to the notes because I can't pull it up. I can't remember because my brain was so overloaded with toxins. And now it's flushing, it's clearing, and I'm starting to see clearly. I'm getting back to where I used to be, and that's where I wanted to be. And I said, Lord, why didn't I think to fast? It didn't occur to me. Fasting on water alone decreases inflammation, increases oxidation it reduces oxidation and the overall microbial load on your body. It actually helps to heal your gut. Leaky gut syndrome is something that you may not have heard of, or maybe you have, and I'm not going to get into it, but it helps that also. Reduces the time that's needed to adapt to a diet change. This is normal. As your good cells get stronger and the bad ones die, your body gets better. God's way. It's God's way. During fasting, the process is turned up. It happens all the time. But whenever you fast, now your body has more energy to put into this. Let's get rid of the bad cells and let's beef up the good cells. After about 12 to 16 hours into a fast and your liver glycogen is depleted, your body starts to heal. Drains that fat, burns it. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to encourage you to be receptive to what the Spirit is speaking to those who want the will of God. Do you want the will of God? Do you want the will of God for your life? Because that's what I want. I want the will of God for your life. I want the will of God for my life. And so I say, let's unite in fasting and prayer. Let's do that as a family. Let's do it. Now, maybe not all of our members are able to. Maybe you're not able to fast. And there are some people that can't. Maybe you could skip one meal. One meal for Christ. One meal to say, okay, I'm going to take tomorrow, I'm going to eat my last meal at supper, and I'm not going to eat again until noon the following day. You get that 18 hours under your belt, you can say, woohoo, I got 18 hours of fasting in. And you could say, you know what, I can fast. Let's pray as we fast. And I believe we'll be able to move mountains of resistance to the Holy Spirit ruling in the hearts of all. I believe we are able to move those mountains of resistance. Jesus said, any two of you agree, he was talking about harmony, you're in harmony with one another. Any of you agree, you can move mountains. You can tell this mountain, pick yourself up and move over there, and it will. We all have mountains in our lives. Wouldn't you like to see some of those mountains moved out of your life? Why don't we come together and pray and fast? Why don't we fast and pray? God, there's a mountain in this person's life, and we all pray in harmony about that mountain, and let's see if God moves it out like He says He will. And we can call upon Him. God, Your Word says, I'm calling You on Your Word, not trying to do something that You didn't say we would do. There's greater things You'll do after Christ left. And I think we're not seeing the power of God in His people because we don't recognize that we already have it. We need to simply break these ties that we have to eating and overeating. And we are all overeating. We don't need to eat as much as we are. That's a fact. That's a fact. We can take a break. Almighty God's growing a new church within the walls of this building, folks. And I think He's calling us to a higher standard, to a different standard, maybe. I think He wants us to go beyond where we've ever gone before as Christ's family. And I think we can go deeper in our faith as we allow God to build Christ's family church that meets in this building. And I believe one of those things that's going to take us there is fasting. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are Your people that meet in this building and we are living under Your amazing grace. We ask, Father God, that You would guide us, that You would enable us, that You would empower us to be Your people who resist the devil, that draw near to You, and that we can deny our flesh, and we can pick up our cross, and we can follow after Christ. We know, Father, that these things that we're dealing with in our bodies can be overcome or at least put in check by fasting. The medical literature is there, proves it. It doesn't just suggest it. As we gather ourselves together, Lord, to be Your church that meets within the walls of this building and beyond, help us to go deeper in our faith. Help us, Father, to set aside a meal or two or three or 22 or as many as You lead, that as we gain those victories, Lord, we would have spiritual powerhouses in this building who would know your will and be in harmony because we're all in one spirit, because there is one Lord. We pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Rosalie had picked number 236, Amazing Grace, but then she changed it up and said she wants to do I Surrender All, and we'll do a couple of verses of I Surrender All. So let's go to page, if anybody remembers it, I Don't, I Surrender All. Let's see. We'll find it. 394, you're right, Rosie. Number 394. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing together. I Surrender All. We will sing the first and the third verse. I Surrender All.